Welcome to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness, an American Readiness Program. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome you to the show and let you know what you're in for. Common Sense Preparedness was designed to give the American public the much-needed information on how to manage and respond to any type of disaster we might face, natural, man-made, or personal. We will not tell you who to vote for or talk about conspiracy theories or when the world is going to end, but we'll get you ready in case that does happen. During this show, you will be exposed to current emergency information from government and non-government sources, a few musical artists, and we will talk about the true important information that everyone needs to know. First aid, CPR, what is a tornado, what to do during an earthquake, how to prepare a family emergency plan, a family emergency communication plan, how to hunt, fish, how to build a fire, what to do in case of power outages. The show will be hosted by myself, Tim Howard, and a variety of guests who will come and share their expertise with us. Nowadays, everywhere you look, someone is an expert. Just because someone writes a book or runs a blog does not make them an expert. However, my credentials? Well, they're pretty extensive with over 25 years field experience as a chemical biological warfare instructor, firefighter, correctional safety manager, area safety manager, safety inspector. I have been associated with various federal, state, and local governments. Currently, I'm associated with the FEMA Think Tank, OSHA Field Councils, and HE Safety Consultants. I have received numerous awards and citations throughout my career with the United States Air Force, U.S. Department of Justice, founding member of the United States Department of Homeland Security, and the U.S. Department of Labor. What does this mean? Well, it means you'll get reliable, verifiable information, not paranoia theories. I will share the experiences I have seen in the field since 1986, and I will be able to explain some of the why things are happening. Before we go any further, any information that you hear on this show or find on csp.hesafety.org is to be taken as informational only. We are not legal or medical advisors. We are here to give you alternate information to get you to think about things and use your own common sense to make your decisions. We do suggest that you talk to your personal medical and legal advisors to help you make a well-rounded, informative decision. Our website, csp.hesafety.org, has been designed to give you more information than can be found on this program. The website is free, so stop on by and begin your research with Common Sense Preparedness. You can download or review any of the past shows from our website and comment on any of the news articles that you may see. Also, please show some love to our sponsors. It is because of them we are able to reach you and offer you this life-saving information. Our sponsors have been selected based on the quality of service they offer to our listening audience. They are the vendors that should be of most interest to you. Common Sense Preparedness' mission is not to sell you anything, but instead it is to save as many lives as we can. It is sad to hear about any life being lost when it was avoidable. Remember, a wise man prepares for a darkness while a fool plays. Don't get caught playing. Listen to Common Sense Preparedness at csp.hesafety.org.
Welcome to Common Sense Preparedness. With your host, my grandpa, Tim Howard.
Welcome to this week's Common Sense Preparedness Situation Report. We're going to do a little bit different this week, and possibly, if this works, we'll keep it this format for here on in. I'm just going to highlight a couple things that have happened over the last week. If you would like to see the full report of Common Sense Preparedness Emergency Information Report, you can find that on our website at csp.hesafety.org. Hey, you know what? You might have noticed on Common Sense Preparedness DB's website, we're starting to announce weather alerts. Due to the fact that we're in tornado season in most of the United States, we're trying to keep an eye on thunderstorms. And if we have some severe thunderstorms and NOAA turns around and issues an alert, we're going to go ahead and follow that alert and rebroadcast that for you guys. So we will follow a weather alert with the states that are affected by it. So you'll see a little bit more on our Twitter feed and Facebook feeds, but it's just more to give those people in that area an idea, hey, we have some severe thunderstorms in your area, possible tornadoes, be careful. Hey, I wanted to talk a little bit about the solar flare alert we issued on May 8th. CSP was the first one to announce a solar flare alert for AR-1476, thanks in part by spaceweather.com. Now, what I wanted to bring out was they're starting to get better at studying the sun, and they have the sunspots numbered already, this one being AR-1476. Well, it unleashed two CMEs towards Earth on May 8th. Now, it was going to produce a moderate geomagnetic storm May 9th and May 10th. But the point I wanted to make here is they knew as soon as AR-1476 came into sight that it had four large dark cores. Now, these dark cores, I guess, are holes in the sun that were larger than the Earth. Each one of them was larger than the Earth. And based on the sunspot's complex beta-gamma magnetic field, NOAA knew right away, hey, we're going to have some problems here. They were estimating a 75% chance of M-class flares and 10% chance of powerful X-flares. The point here is that we're starting to get a little bit better at predicting these solar flare alerts. Now, they do catch us by surprise at times, but the more we monitor them, the more we're aware of what sunspots are coming around, the better prepared we can be. So stay tuned to Common Sense Preparedness, digital broadcasting station, and we'll bring you the solar flare alerts as we receive them. Now let's talk a little bit about the diamond pet food outbreak of salmonella. Hey, what's the big thing here is it keeps on expanding. More and more people are getting sick. This affects humans. And it's not that they're eating dog food. They're touching the dog food. And they're getting salmonella from just touching it. I'm assuming they're putting their hands by their mouth. Just like any kind of food transmission, they're giving themselves salmonella by touching this certain kind of pet food. Now, Diamond Pet Food is also called the Kirkland Signature brand. So it's very popular out there. You have to be careful. If you touch dog food right now, because Diamond Pet Food is not the only one that's out there that has this problem. So if you touch dog food, wash your hands. This way it'll try and counter-react salmonella. On May 2nd, Common Sense Preparedness issued a medical alert for a Hep C outbreak. Now this came from the CDC. What it is hepatitis C is affecting more people who are 45 years old or older. So if you're over 45, you want to get checked out for Hep C, because you might have it and don't even know about it. Get checked out by your doctor for the Hep C in particular, and if you don't have it, there is no vaccination for it, but you got to be a little bit more careful about Hep C. Hep C does affect the liver, and it will kill you. And as you get past 45 into the distinguished age, let me put it to you that way, you're going to succumb to Hep C faster, so you want to keep a real close eye on it. Should be part of your annual exams. Here's a Homeland Security report called TSA Catch and Release. You know, gun parts were found concealed in stuffed animals at the Rhode Island Airport on May 9th. TSA did a great job on this one. They did catch the weapons, but they dropped the ball by letting the man and his 4-year-old son continue to travel. You know, if you attempt to smuggle a weapon onto an airplane in 2012, isn't it that a felony? Whether or not it was in fully working condition, this still could have been an attempt to test the weakness of TSA. I mean, before you do a felony, you're going to test the systems. You're going to test the water a bit. You know, couldn't this have been a test of the waters? Plus, you know, if you commit a felony with a minor, isn't that even more reason to arrest that individual? Word right now on the incident, and we're waiting for more word to come in, is that it was a result of a domestic dispute. Okay, The wifey poo don't really like you anymore. She put a weapon in your bag when you go to TSA. Isn't that the same as a Sam Kinison joke? But you know what? The die was casted. And whether or not it was meant intentionally or not, the weapon was dismantled and put in stuffed animals. The attempt to smuggle was made just by where the items were hidden. So kudos go to TSA for catching the weapon. Bad job on the release of the criminal. Whether or not he was meant to be a criminal, he was a criminal. If I commit a felony, guess where I'm headed? I know where I'm going. On May 2nd, 2012, a medical alert came out of India regarding a fatal case of what they are describing as TDR tuberculosis. The key note here is that we now have an infectious disease that began as a multi-drug resistant disease, MDR, and through mismanagement of the cure, it's developed into TDR, which is total drug resistant. We're causing our own problems here. This infectious disease has been fatal throughout our history, but now we're causing it to become more potent than it ever was. We need to take a look at procedures of preventing TB transmissions. It might just save your life. Stop the spread of germs. Use antibacterial sanitizers. Wash your hands as often as possible. Avoid touching your face or your ears or your eyes. This is a way influenza is spread, but it's also the same way as tuberculosis is spread. The N95 mask will be required if this TDR-TB becomes close to pandemic levels. So now is the time to ensure that you have enough supplies on hand to handle a pandemic. Plus, you're going to have to take a look at your pandemic isolation protocols for your family and ensure that you have enough equipment for it. Duct tape, plastic sheeting, tarps, identified isolation rooms. Right now, we're not in danger, but this infectious disease is fast becoming an area of concern. So this is the best time to prepare for a situation. Don't rely on the government to do anything for you. Right now, the World Health Organization is not acknowledging total drug-resistant anything. They're saying it can't happen. But the people that are dying in India, they kind of know different. So be prepared for a outbreak of totally drug-resistant TB, influenza, whatever the case may be. But if it gets a TDR tag to it, it's going to be nasty. And it can come over to the United States. So prepare yourselves and your family. Teach your kids how to wear N95 masks. Learn how to fit test an N95 mask, and so on. Have isolation protocols ready for your family. Go buy the duct tape, plastic sheeting, tarps, and stuff like that. Now is the time to prepare, not when the outbreak happens. Follow us on csp.hesafety.org for more information on tuberculosis, TDRs, MDRs, and protocols for isolation. You are listening to Common Sense Preparedness, American Readiness Program, right here on BBS Radio. This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Health Operation Team, preparing one person, one community, one country at a time, providing awareness, education, training, resources, and medical support, health care, and emergency preparedness planning, both domestic and international. Please go to their website at www.hoteam.org, hotteam.org, and see where they have been, where they are, and where they're going. Or give them a call at 678-431-8914. Once again, that is 678-431-8914. And let them know you heard it on Common Sense Preparedness. Also, follow them on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. That's hotteam.org, your source for helping individuals, families, businesses, and communities be safer and healthier. Common Sense Preparedness brought to you in part by PatriotMusic.com.
America has known the world over for its passion for freedom and individual rights. If you love your country as much as I do, and if you'd like to hear great music inspiring this passion, check out PatriotMusic.com. Download music from three great albums, including a new album just released, with a cover you won't forget. PatriotMusic.com.
Hi, this is Matt Fitzgibbons with PatriotMusic.com. You're listening to Common Sense Preparedness with Tim Howard.
This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Rocky Mountain Survival Gear, your complete source for all things camping and prepping. They recognize the need of many people in the United States struggling to put together survival packs, not knowing where to start or what they need. So Rocky Mountain Survival Gear will be offering customized bug out bags, emergency kits, and 72-hour bags to fit your specific needs. All you need to do is click on the items you need, and they'll put it together for you. Remember, once a disaster strikes, it's too late to prepare. So prepare now for the future with Rocky Mountain Survival Gear. Contact them at www.rockymountainsurvivalgear.com or give them a call at 720-244-9701. Once again, that's 720-244-9701. You are listening to Common Sense Preparedness, American Readiness Program, right here on VBS Radio. Yeah, I want to take a few minutes to talk about the environmental alert that was issued by Common Sense Preparedness on May 1st in regards to the Japanese nuclear crisis. A senator from Oregon, Senator Wyden, on April 16th, he issued a press release regarding a nuclear power station in Japan that was devastated by the tsunami and the earthquake. He personally toured the facilities and issued a couple letters and a press release. You can go to csp.hesafety.org to see the press release and the letters. We have links up there. But here's the curious part. Senator Wyden reported the situation was worse than reported. This fact is not the first time the Japanese authorities or TEPCO has been accused of this since the devastating earthquake last year. The senator noted how fragile the power plant is in its current state. Any more seismic events could bring the plant into the position of releasing radioactive material into the environment. We are not over this threat yet. It is still lingering but not being talked about anymore. Because of this press release and due to the fact that this accusation has been levied before, I'm urging all residents of the Western United States, be prepared for a radioactive event. Create plans for shelter-in-place situations or SIP situations, decontamination protocols, and home medical treatment plans for radiation sickness. Hey, we can no longer sit and wait for TEPCO or the Japanese government to properly secure the nuclear material that might cause a radioactive fallout that will be felt in the Western United States. We must begin to prepare for the event right now. Common Sense Preparedness will be doing a series of shows and reports on how to mitigate a radiological event over the next few months in order to help prepare us for the possibility of this tragic event coming to the Western U.S. shores. Now, one of the things that really got to me was on April 26th, Common Sense Preparedness issued another environmental alert about the tsunami debris that was headed to the U.S. The debris from the massive Japanese earthquake and tsunami from last year is heading to Alaska, Hawaii, and the U.S. West Coast, and Canada, experts say. Debris is scattered over 4,000 miles in one direction and 1,000 miles in another. It's a large mass. The Japanese government has estimated that 70% of the debris sank. But, you know, CNN was reporting that nobody's certain how much of the remaining 1.5 million tons of debris is still floating in the Pacific Ocean. Buoys, a soccer ball, an unmanned fishing trolley, and other items that float on the surface of the water and can be pushed by the wind have already turned up. The problem here is that the oil and chemical drums and fuel cylinders could also wash ashore. Now, put that together with the radioactive material in that nuclear power plant that could be devastated by any kind of seismic event right now. And granted, most of that would probably sink to the ground, sink to the ocean floor bottom. But what radioactive release will there be? And it will be coming to the U.S. Now, as for the tsunami debris, NOAA says models show the outer edge of the debris is at the West Coast and Alaska, and most of the debris is north of Hawaii, moving east slowly. The front edge of it has gotten here, and a whole cloud should arrive by the end of another year. NOAA said it's unlikely radioactive material from the nuclear power plant would make landfall, but there's a possibility. The U.S. Coast Guard said the Coast Guard would focus on pollution threats and potential impediments to navigation. But what about a radioactive fallout? I don't think they can handle that. It's difficult to predict just where the debris will come ashore. Due to the wind and current, we can only forecast a few days in advance, but it should be an upswing of debris on the shorelines in the next few months. On March 11, 2011, earthquake and tsunami in Japan crippled the nuclear power plant, destroyed homes, and killed thousands of people. It's not over with yet, folks. Until they can secure that material to where it will be safe in any kind of seismic event, we still have a possibility of radioactive fallout reaching the U.S. We must be prepared. We must be prepared for a radiological incident. We're only going to have a few days' notice, if any. So we must take it on ourselves and prepare for ourselves and our families in case this should happen. And like I said, HE Safety Common Sense Preparedness will be doing a series of educational series on items that we can find that will help us through any kind of incident. Since it's getting close to that time of year, I'm going to go ahead and talk a little bit about hurricanes. You know, hurricanes can be a dangerous killer. However, learning about hurricanes, warning messages, and planning ahead, it can reduce the chances of injuries or major property damage. Hurricane develops around the equator and heads north during hurricane season, which is from June 1st to November 30th every year. The areas affected are the coastal states, you know, Atlantic, Pacific, and the Gulf of Mexico. And yes, they do have hurricanes in the Pacific. They usually just don't reach us. The real danger of hurricanes is the wind and the debris it picks up. Another danger is from the storm surge. You can check out csp.hesafety.org for more information on the storm surge. Also, you want to watch out for the floods and the flash flooding that will occur during a storm. Since this is an annual occurrence, we've become better equipped to track and monitor these storms. However, there's still no precise science here to track it, and a hurricane will travel the way it wants to. So you must be prepared for a hurricane, even if you're not in the projected path. So what are watches and warnings? Well, a hurricane watch is issued by NOAA, and it's when the hurricane conditions can occur within 24 to 36 hours in a particular area. NOAA will also issue a hurricane warning when the threat of the hurricane is less than 24 hours. Now, the categories of a hurricane, I know you've heard them all, Category 1 through 5. Cat 1, or Category 1, the winds are usually 74 to 95 miles per hour. Very dangerous winds will produce some type of damage. A Category 2 hurricane, 96 miles per hour to 110 miles per hour. Extremely dangerous winds will cause extensive damage. Now, a Category 3, 111 miles to 130 miles per hour. Now, that's going to cause some devastating damage. A Category 4 hurricane, which is 131 miles to 155 miles per hour, catastrophic damage will occur. And Category 5 is anything over 155 miles per hour. Catastrophic damage will occur also. Check our website, csp.hesafety.org, for more information. We do have a good PDF file for download that explains the hurricane categories one by one, and it will talk about damage to trees, to the homes, to pets, all kinds of stuff. Very good information. So a hurricane watch is issued. Now, what are you going to do about it? What does it mean? What should you do? Well, here's some ideas of a hurricane watch checklist. Now, before we go into this, I want to let you know this is just an idea. You can modify it as you wish, whatever suits your needs, but this gives you some ideas of things to look at. When a hurricane watch is issued, listen to battery-operated radios and televisions for hurricane progress reports. Check your emergency supply levels. Fill up your car. Secure buildings by closing and boarding up windows. Now, to protect your windows, permanent shelters are the best kind of protection there is. If you don't have that, a low-cost approach is to put up plywood panels. Use half-inch plywood. Marine plywood is best. Cut to fit each window. Remember, mark each board what window it goes to. pre-drill holes every 18 inches for screws. Now, this should all be done long before a storm happens. Probably start doing it now. Also, you want to remove outside antennas. The next thing you want to do is turn your refrigerator and freezer to its coldest setting. Remember, when power goes out, you're going to need to be able to open those refrigerators quickly and know what's inside. Store drinking water in clean bathtubs, jugs, bottles, and other cooking utensils, pots and pans. Review your evacuation plan. And this is during a hurricane watch. Review your evacuation plan. Because when we go into a hurricane warning, more than likely you might have to use your evacuation plan. If you own a boat, moor boats securely or move it to a designated safe place. Use ropes and chains to secure your boat to a trailer. And use tie downs to anchor the trailer to the ground or your house. If your home is located on high ground, like on a mountaintop, you're going to want to probably seek refuge somewhere else. Because of it being at a higher altitude, it's going to get stronger winds. Now, before the storm hits, go outside, carry inside all possible objects that could be lifted by the storm and become deadly weapons. Tools, garbage cans, outside furnitures, anything that could hurt and kill you. Also, during a warning, you want to make arrangements for your pets. Pets may not be allowed in emergency shelters for health and space reasons, so contact your local Humane Society for more information on local animal shelters. Make sure your family members all know about your emergency communication plan. How are you going to respond to this hurricane? Teach family members how and when to turn off gas, electric, and water. So all should be in your family emergency plan. Now, long before the storm comes, now trim back any dead or weak branches from trees. They will break off during a hurricane and become flying debris. Also, check into flood insurance. You can find out about your National Flood Insurance Program through your local insurance agent or emergency management office. Now, there's going to be a 30-day waiting period for any new policy to begin, so now would be a good time to start checking your flood insurance. Homeowners' policies do not cover damage from flooding that accompanies a hurricane. So now we get into a hurricane warning checklist. NOAA has issued a hurricane warning for your local area. What are you going to do? Are you going to listen to your battery-operated radio and television for official instructions, communications? If you're in a mobile home, check tie-downs and evacuate immediately. You do not want to be in a mobile home during high winds. It will damage the home. Store valuables and personal papers in a waterproof container at the highest level of your home. During a hurricane warning, don't use elevators. Stay inside and away from windows, skylights, and glass doors as much as possible. Keep a supply of flashlights and extra batteries handy. Avoid any kind of open flames, such as candles or kerosene lamps, as a source of light. If power is lost, turn off major appliances and reduce power surge when the electricity is restored. If the center of the hurricane or the eye of the hurricane goes directly over you, it'll be a period of calm for a few minutes up to an hour. Don't go out and stay in your shelter since the wind will pick up again even with more strength this time because it's coming from the other direction. Stay inside until the hurricane has completely left your area. Now, the inside of a car is not a good place for a shelter. It can be used in emergency to get out of the area. But if you're stuck in a car during a hurricane, the safest spot is going to be underneath the car. If officials indicate to evacuate your area, leave as soon as possible. Avoid flooded roads and watch for washed out bridges. Secure your home by unplugging appliances and turning off electricity and the main water valve. That should be part of your evacuation plan. Tell someone outside the storm area where you're going, your family contact point. If time permits and you live in an identified surge zone, elevate furniture and protect it from flooding, or better yet, move it to higher floors. Grab your go bag and go to your evacuation points. Now, after a hurricane, once your hurricane's passed, stay tuned to your radios for more information. Help injured or trapped people. Check with your neighbors. Give first aid where it's appropriate. Now, do not move a seriously injured person unless there is immediate danger for further injury. Call 911. And remember, during a national disaster like this, or a local disaster like this, 911 is going to be overloaded. So you're going to have to do some first aid to keep that person with you. Return home only after authorities advise you to do so. Avoid loose or dangling power lines and report them immediately to the power company, police, or fire department. Enter your home with caution and beware of snakes, insects, and animals driven to higher ground by flooding waters. They get displaced too, and they're looking for their evacuation points. Check your refrigerator for spoiled foods. Now, if the power's been out for more than 4 hours, more than likely all of it's going to be thrown away. Do not take a chance with it. Take pictures of the damage, both of the house and the contents, for insurance claims. And drive only if absolutely necessary. Avoid the flooded roads and washed out bridges. And the reason for this is emergency services are on their way in, so you want to keep the roads clear and open for them. And follow your emergency communication plans. Now, inspecting utilities in a damaged home, one of the things you want to do is you want to check for gas leaks immediately. If you smell gas or hear blowing or hissing noise, open a window and quickly leave the building. Turn off the gas at the outside main valve if you can do so safely. Call the gas company from a neighbor's home. If you turn off the gas for any reason or electricity, it must be turned back on by a professional. And the last thing you want to check is for sewage and water line damage. If you suspect sewer lines are damaged, avoid using the toilets and call a plumber. If water pipes are damaged, contact the water company and avoid the water from the tap. You can obtain safe water from what you have stored, or you can obtain safe water by melting ice cubes and stuff like that. If you want any more information on what to do during a hurricane, visit us at csp.hesafety.org for more information. You are listening to Common Sense Preparedness, American Readiness Program, right here on CBS Radio. I want to take this opportunity to announce that Arizona is going to have its first annual Survivalist Show. On May 19th, 2012, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., the first annual Arizona Survivalist Show will be held at the Commemorative Air Force Museum in Mesa, Arizona, in Falcon Field. All proceeds will go to the nonprofit museum. The show is open to anyone interested in the prepper movement that is sweeping across the United States. Come out and buy some items from many of Arizona's vendors. Visit with experts. Meet other like-minded citizens that are equally interested in helping protect themselves and their families from any unexpected event. This unique one-day show is a must-attend event for the entire family. Not only do you get the experience of the first annual Arizona Survivalist Show, but you will also see Arizona's premier working vintage aircraft. Vendors will be displaying and selling the following: freeze-dried foods, MREs, ideas on food availability at any grocery store, canning equipment and supplies, storage options, water barrels, food-grade buckets, military surplus equipment, clothing, camping equipment, survival garden seed supplies, ideas, bug-out bags, suggestions and supplies, solar ovens, solar kits, and solar ideas. There will also be educational seminars, books, manuals, and literature, emergency medical equipment and first aid supplies, fuel storage and battery supplies and ideas, propane cooking equipment, utensils, etc., water filtration equipment and supplies, plus many other items of interest. Common Sense Preparedness Digital Radio Talk Show will be recording a broadcast while the event is on, and we will be conducting interviews with people for the show. Come join us for a guaranteed fun time. Admission to the event is $10 per adult and $5 per child at the door. And the children under 5, they're free of charge. For more information, please contact Lance Baker at 480-229-5691. Once again, that number is 480-229-5691. Or email him at lancebaker1964@gmail.com. Once again, that's lancebaker1964@gmail.com. This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Health Operation Team, preparing one person, one community, one country at a time, providing awareness, education, training, resources, and medical support health care, and emergency preparedness planning, both domestic and international. Please go to their website at www.hoteam.org, hoteam.org, and see where they have been, where they are, and where they're going. Or give them a call at 678-431-8914. Once again, that is 678-431-8914. And let them know you heard it on Common Sense Preparedness. Also, follow them on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. That's hoteam.org, your source for helping individuals, families, businesses, and communities be safer and healthier. This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Pure Hydration Water Purification Systems. Rocky Mountain Survival Gear is now the sole U.S. distributor of Pure Hydration Water Purification Systems, which uses no chemicals, has no wait time, and can be filled from any natural water source. The purifier eliminates pathogens, viruses, bacteria, chemicals, heavy metals, fecal matter, sediment, bad taste, and odors, and quickly turns potentially contaminated water into safe and clean drinking water. Pure Hydration offers their purifiers in 6 different personal carrier modules for every outdoor endeavor. For more information, contact Rocky Mountain Survival Gear at www.rockymountainsurvivalgear.com or give them a call at 720-244-9701. Once again, that number is 720-244-9701. I got a chance the other day to take a look at the 7-day, 2-person emergency kit from Health Operations Team. This kit is a great basic starter kit. While it does not contain all the emergency supplies that you'll need during a prolonged disaster, it has enough supplies to ensure that you will survive any 7-day disaster. That's why it's called a basic starter kit. The first thing I noticed was the versatility of the bag. It can be used as a backpack, carried by the handle, by the shoulder strap. It even has wheels on it, so if you need to roll it, you can. The food package and water supplies make the kit kind of heavy, but these are basic requirements, and there's no way of getting around this weight. That's one of the reasons physical conditioning is a requirement in any kind of preparedness plan. Now, everything in the kit is stored in plastic Ziploc bags for weatherproofing protection. First idea I got in my head was, it showed me that I can use it, this weatherproofing idea, for other items. I mean, even a radio came in a plastic bag. The kit comes with a standard first aid kit, hygiene products, rain ponchos, light sticks, rope, and even a pry bar, just to name a few items in the bag. So it has a lot of equipment in there that you do need, some basic equipment. You're going to want to modify it to your family's needs. If your family needs medication, you may want to put the family medication in there, extra eyeglasses and such. Health Operations Team has a complete listing of all the items contained in the kit on their website at hoteam.org. Now, the price on the kit is unbeatable, $130, while all other outlets charge a minimum of $199-$200 for similar kits. Health Operations Team is offering these kits at cost with zero profit margin. What a deal. But what I want to remind you is Health Operations is a non-profit organization. If you can show them any kind of love, please do so. Even if it's a dollar, they need the help. They need the money. So they can go ahead and give these kits to people who are in need, who really need them. Now, some of the items in the kit that I would recommend to change, one would be the radio and the flashlight. Both of them are items that use batteries to operate with. I would exchange them for solar hand-cranked items. I mean, there's no reason to carry the extra weight of the batteries. There's nowhere to recharge them or anything like that. They're good for the home cache, but if you have to use it as a bug-out bag, I'd have solar equipment with me. Now, the coloring book and crayons, that's another thing I'd probably be changing. Now, if you have a kid that's less than 5, it's a great distraction for them. For the older kids, this is where we want to customize the bag for ourselves. We have older kids, we want to put some other stuff in there. However, it does have a deck of cards for adult distractions. Both the fruit packs and the water packs are edible. Trust me. Now, granted, I'm a very picky eater. It's not my preferred food of choice. But in an emergency, well, I know I can eat them and get my calories that I need. They are edible. Overall, I was pleased with the starter kit. The price was great, and they'll get you through any type of emergency. So I'm recommending that if you need a kit, contact HOTEAM.org, and they will be able to get you one. Now, they have a special price program available for disadvantaged and the elderly. So when you talk to them, let them know what you're doing and who you are, and that you heard it on the radio show, and see if you qualify for a discounted program. But even if you don't qualify, it's still a bargain at $130. So contact Health Operations Team at www.hoteam.org. Or you can call their Georgia phone number at 678-431-8914. Once again, that number is 678-431-8914. Now here's the newest song from Matt Fitzgibbon to PatriotMusic.com.
It comes with every walk of life, from the homeless to a prince. Say it's been a long, long time that we haven't earned it since. It guides the heart, fills the soul, teaches to be true. Are not like laws, they can change or just ignore. They're to claim by every soul, like so many did before. I can see it in your eyes. It depends on what you do. They can't take that away from you. No, 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 no. Many times we cower, we grant them one more power.
Today, I want to take this opportunity to talk about the Responder 84 ALS backpack from 511 Tactical. Now, when I first saw this backpack, it was during tornado recovery operations in Kentucky earlier this year. I was immediately impressed when I saw all the equipment that Medic had in his backpack. He even had an O2 bottle, and it was secured well to the inside of the backpack. When the Medic opened up this ALS 84 backpack, I noticed that he had every type of trauma equipment that he was going to need, including neck braces, an O2 kit, an AED, a smaller bag containing medicine and syringes, and another one containing bandages and clot stoppers. The Medic even had a portable air splint system in his backpack. Now, they are large. There was also enough room to contain all this guy's paperwork that he needed. The Medic explained to me that he had been using the backpack for a few months now, and he said it was the greatest thing since sliced bread in the Border Field Medic. He told me it was easy to carry and has large enough compartments to hold the basic equipment he needed in the field to handle almost every type of emergency he would face. Now, my idea for the bag, when I saw it, was a little bit different than his. With that much room, I figured, not only would it be able to handle my family and medical kit, which is extensive, but there'd be enough room for my bug-out equipment also, reducing my overall number of bags I would need to carry. So when I got my Responder 84 ALS backpack from 511 Tactical, I immediately loaded it up with all the stuff I had and took it on a test run. I bugged out to one of my family's retreat points for 3 days. The bag was able to handle the heavy load I placed into it, including food rations, a water pack, solar blankets, an emergency radio, solar lantern, a pry bar, tarp, fire starter kit, military rain gear, military jacket, and my essential jerky and candy stash. I was even able to place my family emergency manual in the top layer compartment. To my surprise, after all this, I still had room. So in went the gun cleaning kit, the trauma kit, a shovel, a mess kit, a two-man tent, and my navigational pack. Then, on the outside, I attached my machete, a CPR kit, a small fishing tackle bag, and my trusty old sleeping bag. That is when I hit my first problem with the backpack. I still had room, and no more equipment. Good problem to have. So then I placed it on my back and automatically felt the weight distribution on my shoulders and my upper back. It was actually comfortable. When I got to the retreat area, I unloaded what I had needed in order to eat and set up camp. Now, after dinner, I laid down in my tent for a few minutes because, you know, I'm not as young as I once was, and I started to listen to the music of nature. The next thing I knew, it was getting extremely cold outside, so I jumped into my sleeping bag and fell right asleep. I awoke in the morning to a snow-covered campsite. I was not prepared for that, not at all. I went to grab my field jacket and realized that my backpack was not with me in the tent. I had left it outside. Oh boy. My 3-day trek was now down to 12 hours. Now, if my jacket and my extra clothing in the backpack are wet, well, I just have to return home early. However, to my surprise, after brushing off the snow, all the contents in the bag was dry as a bone. And that included my print family emergency plan. The ALS 84 backpack system from 511 Tactical saved the trip. I was able to get the fire starter kit out and make a hot cup of coffee. The versatility of the backpack and the amount of equipment it was able to handle made me an avid believer. It can be used as a professional medical response kit or a bug out kit. The overall 3,941 cubic inches can handle most equipment, and the YKK zipper system on the bag is a great improvement over the old zipper system that would always get stuck and eventually break. Another item of this backpack that I found interesting was the see-through zipper mesh pockets on the inside of the bag. It is of great value when you're not sure where your items are stored. A quick glance, and you know where your equipment is without having to open up each pouch to find out where they're at. The removable kit system, blue and red bags, is useful for storing small items and keeping them separate from the rest of your gear. I was able to store a med kit in one, making it readily available if I needed it. I also found a Velcro inside the pack to be useful for attaching my mag light holder and a few of the other belt pouches that had Velcro on them. This way I was able to have my pandemic kit secured without having to search for it. Overall, I found the Responder 84 ALS backpack to be a great addition for $249.99 because it is large enough to turn two bags into one. With each bag costing about $150 each, you end up about $50 ahead of the game. For more information on the Responder 84 ALS backpack, come visit csp.atsafety.org. You are listening to Common Sense and Fairness, American Readiness Program, right here on CBS Radio. This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Health Operation Team, preparing one person, one community, one country at a time, providing awareness, education, training, resources, and medical support, health care, and emergency preparedness planning, both domestic and international. Please go to their website at www.hoteam.org, hatteam.org, and see where they have been, where they are, and where they're going. Or give them a call at 678-431-8914. Once again, that is 678-431-8914. And let them know you heard it on Common Sense Preparedness. Also, follow them on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. That's hotteam.org, your source for helping individuals, families, businesses, and communities be safer and healthier.
Emergencies happen every day. Are you prepared for a crisis? HE Safety can help. Together we'll prepare for natural and man-made disasters, medical emergencies, extreme weather, and other safety-related issues. It all happens on the Common Sense Preparedness Show, hosted by Tim Howard of HE Safety Consultants.
Common Sense Preparedness would like to announce our new Emergency Information Network is on our website. Here you'll find the latest news regarding food safety, emergency news, FEMA daily reports, medical alerts, solar weather alerts, and hurricane reports. Plus you'll find links to outbreak databases, near-Earth objects, solar flares, and information from government and non-government outlets. Come join us at csp.hesafety.org and take a look at our new Emergency Information Network. Remember, a wise man prepares for darkness while a fool plays. Don't get caught playing. Listen to Common Sense Preparedness and American Readiness Program at csp.hesafety.org. Or follow us on Google Plus and Facebook. I want to take this opportunity to announce that Arizona is going to have its first annual Survivalist Show. On May 19th, 2012, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., the first annual Arizona Survivalist Show will be held at the Commemorative Air Force Museum in Mesa, Arizona, in Falcon Field. All proceeds will go to the nonprofit museum. The show is open to anyone interested in the prepper movement that is sweeping across the United States. Come out and buy some items from many of Arizona's vendors. Visit with experts. Meet other like-minded citizens that are equally interested in helping protect themselves and their families from any unexpected event. This unique one-day show is a must-attend event for the entire family. Not only do you get the experience of the first annual Arizona Survivalist Show, but you will also see Arizona's premier working vintage aircraft. Vendors will be displaying and selling the following: freeze-dried foods, MREs, ideas on food availability at any grocery store, canned equipment and supplies, storage options, water barrels, food-grade buckets, military surplus equipment and clothing, camping equipment, survival garden seed supplies, ideas, bug-out bags, suggestions and supplies, solar ovens, solar kits, and solar ideas. There will also be educational seminars, books, manuals, and literature, emergency medical equipment and first aid supplies, fuel storage and battery supplies and ideas, propane cooking equipment, utensils, etc., water filtration equipment and supplies, plus many other items of interest. Common Sense Preparedness Digital Radio Talk Show will be recording a broadcast while the event is on, and we will be conducting interviews with people for the show. Come join us for a guaranteed fun time. Admission to the event is $10 per adult and $5 per child at the door. And the children under 5, they're free of charge. For more information, please contact Lance Baker at 480-229-5691. Once again, that number is 480-229-5691. Or email him at lancebaker1964@gmail.com. Once again, that's lancebaker1964@gmail.com. You are listening to Common Sense Preparedness, American Readiness Program, right here on PBS Radio. Now, earlier in the show, we were talking about storm surge with a hurricane. And the best way I can describe a storm surge is a cushion of water against a continental shelf that becomes almost like a tsunami. I do have a soundbite from the National Weather Service that explains a storm surge much better than I could. So I'm going to let you hear that.
The storm surge is a large dome of water, often as wide as 50 miles across, that comes sweeping across the coastline near to where the eye of the hurricane makes landfall. It's really a function of two things primarily, the intensity of the hurricane and the slope of the continental shelf. Now, we have had some storm surge values as high as 25 feet. It's hard for people to imagine that. And then you also have these very dangerous battering waves on top of the storm surge. Historically, 9 out of 10 people that are killed in hurricanes are killed by the storm surge. It's very important that people know their vulnerability to the storm surge. The first step in your hurricane plan should be identifying your vulnerability to the particular hazards. And for the storm surge, you need to know if you're in an evacuation zone for a particular category hurricane. One of the best ways you can find that out is to contact your local emergency management office. Often you can give them your zip code and they'll be able to tell you if you're in the evacuation zone for a particular category hurricane.
Wow, that sounds like it came back out of the 50s. But the facts are still the same. A storm surge is going to be a storm surge as it is today, as it was in 1950. As you can see, preparing for a hurricane, we're going to get a hurricane this year. Preparing for it now will better protect us, our families' lives, and our home. So it's best to start looking at our family emergency plans, our family communication plans, our evacuation routes. Go ahead and run the evacuation route at least once before the hurricane comes to get better familiar with it. And together, by doing all this and being prepared for it, we can save some lives. If you have any more questions, if you want any more information, visit us at csp.hesafety.org. Thank you for tuning in to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness, the American Readiness Program. You may be found at the web at csp.hesafety.org. Remember, a wise man prepares his actions while full faith. Don't get caught playing. Tune in to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness.
Just a little squirt. You learned the rules of defensive tools so that no one would get hurt. You learned to breathe and you learned to squeeze till your aim was always true. You made the right of passage man with your first real 22. World order crew, well, they're making their demands. They don't feel safe if you are wrong. You say gun control is using both hands. Founders knew the Second Amendment was the final one to keep, to hold our other rights intact so we'd never become sheep. Stalin, Hitler, Mao, and Pol Pot, they told us things that you never forgot. Teach the lessons to your daughters and sons, to fear the government, to fear your guns. Now the new world order crew, well, they're making their demands. You don't feel safe if you are wrong. You take on control is using both hands. Take my family.
Using both hands.